Welcome back to the Rav Hirsch on Parshas podcast series in OU Torah. This week we will be looking at Rav Hirsch's commentary on Parshios Vayakhel Pekudei. And the Parsha begins with a reiteration of the mitzvah of Shabbos. And Rav Hirsch points out the Gemara in Masech HaShabbos, which shows that we derive all 39 melachos from the beginning of this week's parsha, where Shabbos is introduced in the opening pasuk as Eile hadvarim asher tzivo Hashem la'asos osam. These are the things that Hashem commanded to do, and in the words Eile hadvarim we find a hint at least to 39 melachos, because Eile aleph lamed hey is gematria 36, and Devarim would be, at minimum, as a plural, is at minimum two. And the extra hey, Eile ha-devarim, adds one more. And so 36 plus 2 plus 1 gives us a grand total of 39 melachos. This is where we know there are 39. Once we know there are 39, then Chazal figure out, or let's have Masoda, as to which 39 are activities are avos melachos, and what are the toldos that are subsumed under those broad categories of melacha. Rav Hirsch notes that we derive the forbidden activities on Shabbos from the construction of the Mishkan, and it is those activities done to create the Mishkan that are forbidden on Shabbos. Because the Mishkan itself, Rav Hirsch writes, is the highest level of human work. It's not just a construction project, but it is a construction project that where we are elevating the material and really transfusing it with spirituality, or infusing it with spirituality, and bringing the Shekhinah down to human handiwork, which is quite a feat, and it's really the highest, the ideal type of construction project we could have. And so specifically from this type of project, where it's the ideal work of man, those activities are subordinated to Hashem through the observance of Shabbos, and by not doing those things on the day of Shabbos. The melachos of Shabbos, Rav Hirsch notes, after listing them all out, the full list of 39, he notes that they are all productive activities. They are activities which involve changing objects and improving them. Activities that show man's creative nature and man's mastery over the physical world as given to him by Hashem. And so in those ways that we show our control over the world, we subordinate them to Hashem on Shabbos. As if to say that even though Hashem has granted us control over the world, we ourselves are merely servants to Him, and we are not fully in control. And one day a week we give that, we relinquish our mastery that was given to us by Hashem, we relinquish it back to Him to show that He is the true master of the world and not us. And so we indicate that through creative actions, through refraining from all creative work. And versus some of the melachos that aren't necessarily creative, such as me'amer, which is gathering together fruits, or tzad, which is trapping animals, those aren't necessarily creative. Those do not create a transformation on the object itself, but they created a change in the state of the object. So when you gather things, they are no longer out in the open, but now they're being brought into the person's sphere where he can control them. Same thing with trapping a wild animal. It's not running free anymore. Now the human can control it. And so they still fit this broad understanding of melachos as productive activities that effect change, even if not on the object, but at least on the status of the object, and bringing it under our control. The one exception to this definition of melacha, Rav Hirsch notes, as does the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, is hotzah, carrying. Carrying is not necessarily something that improves the object, changes the object, or changes the status of the object vis-a-vis our control either. In fact, the Chazal refer to carrying as malacha gerua, a poor example of a malacha. It's really doesn't fit along with the others. But nevertheless, Rav Hirsch cites a long passage from Yirmiyah, where the Navi emphasizes the importance of the Isser Hotzah on Shabbos and how critical that is to Shabbos observance. And Rav Hirsch really takes an entire block quote of a number of psukim to show the full extent of the importance attached to Hotzah by the Navi. And so I want to read to you some of these psukim if you want to follow along. It's in Sefer Yirmiyah, Perek Yud Zayin, beginning in Pasuk Yud Tes. And here, Hashem commands Yirmiyah, Ko amar Hashem elai, so says Hashem to me, says Yirmiyah, Holoch v'almadita b'shar b'nei ha'am, go stand in the gates of the people, Asher yavo'u v'almalchei Yehuda, where the kings of Yehuda enter through, v'asher yetzuvo, from which they leave, v'chol shar Yerushalayim, and then go among all the gates of Yerushalayim to spread this message. V'amarta alehem, say to the people, Shim'u dvar Hashem malchei Yehuda, v'chol Yehuda, v'chol Yoshua Yerushalayim, haboy m'sha'arim ha'ela. Hear the word of Hashem, kings of Yehuda, all the inhabitants of Yehuda, all the inhabitants of Yerushalayim who enter these gates. Ko amar Hashem, so says Hashem, Hishamru b'nafsho seichem, be on guard with yourselves. Ve'al tis'u ma'asa b'yom ha'shabbos, do not carry on the day of Shabbos. V'havesem b'shar Yerushalayim, nor shall you bring things into the gates of Yerushalayim. V'lo sotzi'u ma'asa mibotechem b'yom ha'shabbos, nor shall you carry from your houses on Shabbos day. V'chol melacha lo sasu, nor shall you do any other type of melacha. V'kidash temes yom ha'shabbos kasher tzivisa sevotechem, you should sanctify the Shabbos day as I commanded your forefathers. V'lo shamu v'lo hitu es oznam, but they did not listen, they did not pay attention. V'yakshu es arpam, and they were stubborn. L'vilti shemoa, l'vilti kachas musar, not they refused to listen, they would not take critique from Hashem. But if you do listen to me, says Hashem, not to bring burdens into this gates of the city on Shabbos, and to sanctify the day of Shabbos, not to do any other melacha on it. So then the reward will be that into the gates of this city will enter kings and officers, Yoshvim al kisei David, who sit on the throne of David HaMelech, Ruchvim borechel vasusim, riding in chariots and horses. Hema v'starehem, ish Yehuda v'yoshevei Yerushalayim. They, their officers, inhabitants of Yehuda and Yerushalayim. V'yoshvoha ir hazos le'olam, and this city will be inhabited forever. Uva'u me'arei Yehuda misivivos Yerushalayim, u'me'eretz b'nyomin, u'min ha'shvelo, u'min ahar, u'min ha'negev. And from all over, from the cities of Yerushalayim, from the environs of Yerushalayim, from the land of Binyamin, from the lowlands to the highlands, to the south, from all over, people will come. Mivim ola v'zevach u'mincha u'levona, bringing ola shlamim minachos levona to the mikdash. Umivie toda beis Hashem, bringing karbonos toda to the house of Hashem. But v'im lo sishmeu elai, if you do not listen to me, kadesh yom Shabbos, to sanctify Shabbos, u'vilti se'es masa, and you do not refrain from carrying burdens. Uvo b'sharei Yerushalayim yom Shabbos, and taking those burdens and entering the gates of Yerushalayim on Shabbos. I will light a fire in its gates, the Achla Arminos Yerushalayim, and the fire will consume the palaces of Yerushalayim, the Lo Sichbe, and that fire will not be extinguished. Now, we don't typically associate the destruction of Yerushalayim with Shabbos, it's certainly not carrying on Shabbos. But we see from the words of this Navi of Yirmiyah how strongly Hashem warned the people about the importance of refraining from carrying on Shabbos. What's also interesting, Rav Hirsch points out, is that in addition to the importance of Shabbos, despite it being what Chazal call Melach Grua, is how the Navi repeatedly separates Hotzah from Melacha in general. In numerous occasions in that section, the Navi says, don't carry on Shabbos, and don't do other malacha. Lo sotziu masal mibatechem v'yom haShabbos v'chol malacha lo sasu. Later on again, l'vilti havi masa b'sharei o'ir azos v'yom haShabbos. And then also, l'kadesh es yom haShabbos l'vilti asos bo kol malacha. So we see, says Rav Hirsch, that it seems that Hutzah runs parallel to other malachos. It's not necessarily a part of the other malachos, but there are 38 malachos that convey one idea. And then there's Isur Hotzah, which conveys another idea. It seems that there are two separate components to sanctifying the Shabbos. So Rav Hirsch suggests that while the 38 malachos convey man's control over the physical world, Hotzah involves man's role in social interactions, which can be, on a limited sense, as one person to his neighbor, but also the individual to the public, the individual to the state, and the one state to another. The idea of carrying from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, the idea of carrying within Rishus HaRabim. This is a matter of man's control of his relationships with other people and his relationships vis-a-vis his nation. And the idea is that just as the 38 malachos subordinate our control of the world to Hashem, we give back control and acknowledge Hashem's that Hashem as the true master of the world, Isur Hotzah limits our social interactions on Shabbos as if to convey the message that on Shabbos we acknowledge Hashem as the one who is truly in control of our national life, of our national interactions, of our roles, community in the world, and of our how we relate to the people around us and how we relate to the nations around us. In short, the verse says, the malachos, the Isur Malacha on Shabbos, is a way of symbolizing Hashem's control over nature. And Isur Hotzah symbolizes Hashem's control over history. Let me read to you the quote from the commentary, because I think it's very powerful. Rav Hirsch writes, accordingly, if the Isur of all the other malachos subordinates man to God as regards his position in the physical world, the Isur of Hotzah apparently expresses man's subordination to God as regards his position in the social world. The former is subordination to God in nature, the latter is subordination to God in history. Whereas the former places man's work in nature under the rule of the Creator, the latter places man's work in the state under the same rule. Just as the conception of our world comprises both nature and state, the conception of God's sovereignty over the world includes his direction and command of nature and history. God's kingdom on earth, which man is to build up by keeping Shabbos, will be complete and real only if man subordinates himself to God's will in both his natural life and his national life. Now, Rav Hirsch takes us one step further, and I'll read to you again from the commentary. Now we see that the two facts that the Torah mentions as reasons for the mitzvah of Shabbos, Briyas Shemayim Va'aretz and Yitzias Mitzrayim, complement each other in their essential meaning. The creation of the world attests to the Creator's sovereignty in nature, and this is expressed on Shabbos by all the other malachos. The exodus from Egypt attests to the Creator's sovereignty in the lives of nations, and this is expressed on Shabbos by the Isur Hotzah. The Isur Hotzah, then, places the Jewish state, the individual Jew's activities on behalf of the community's activities on behalf of the individual, as well as the activities of the rulers of the state under the sovereignty of the Creator who demands obedience. Now we understand why the words of the prophet cited above make the survival of the state dependent first and foremost on keeping the Shabbos through Isur Hotzah, and herald the fall of the state due to the desecration of the Shabbos by Hotzah. Isur Hotzah impresses the seal of God on the whole life of the state. Hotzah on the Shabbos day tears away the banner of God from the state and from the social life within the state. So we see Rav Hirsch beautifully explains how Shabbos is both Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim and also Zikaron L'Maaseh Bereishis, lining them up with the two parallel manifestations of Shabbos through in Halacha of the 38 Malachos, and then also Hotzah. And that explains why Hutzah is connected in the Navi to the destruction of Shalayim. Because the Jewish state will cease to exist if the Jews will not subordinate their national life and acknowledge Hashem as the one who is in control of their national destiny and their national activities and their social activities. So then society falls apart, specifically because of Yisr Hotzah. And we see now how the two go together and how important both aspects of Shabbos are, as we need to acknowledge Hashem's control over all aspects of our life, both in nature, both in history, both in our personal sphere, but also in our national communal sphere. And this passage in Yirmiyah really brings this idea to the forefront, and we now see how Shabbos commemorates both Yetzias Mitzrayim and creation of the world simultaneously in both aspects of its observance. The remainder of the bulk of this parsha, the two parshas we read this week, Vayakel and Pekudei, are dedicated to a repetition, a very long repetition, of the components of the Mishkan and their construction, most of which we read in Parshios Terumah and Tetzaveh. Rav Hirsch explains the need for this repetition by pointing out the symbolic nature of the Mishkan as a whole. And that the Mishkan, as we discussed at great length in those Parshios Terumah and Tetzaveh, the Mishkan and its components are symbols of ideals that we can look to understand what Hashem wants from us in our lives. And a symbol, Rav Hirsch writes, is only meaningful, as powerful as the intent invested in it by its creators. If it is deliberately created in such a way to convey the meaning that the symbol is meant to give us. For example, Rav Hirsch shows the Sefer Torah, which, according to Rav Hirsch writes, is obviously a symbolic object. Of course, the words it creates, the words in it are Torah Min HaShemayim, but the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah is really symbolic because of what it contains. And the Sefer Torah only has Kedusha if the Azkaros, the Shemos Hashem, in the Sefer Torah are all written L'Shem Kedusha Hashem. When the Sofer writes the Sefer Torah, he has to have in mind Lishma for every single Shem Hashem that he writes. And without that intent, it has no Kedusha. If a Sefer Torah is written by an Apikoros, we burn it. It has not only does it have no Kedusha, but we are obligated to destroy it, because we assume he wrote it L'Shem Avodah Zarah. So we see how symbols are powerful because of the intent invested in it. And so this is especially important by the Mishkan, which refers to writes that many of these objects, the tapestries and the clothing, a menorah, a table, all these things are everyday objects that were just being used and constructed in very specific ways here to be used in the Mishkan to convey certain symbolic meaning. So the construction of the Mishkan is repeated piece by piece, line by line, exactly as it was told from Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu, to show us that when the craftsmen created the kelim and made the begadim for the kohanim, they did this with the intent that Hashem wanted for them. It was done lishma, in this case lishma meaning with the symbolic intent that they were meant to convey, and it was done in just the right way, with the right mindset, so that it was able to convey those messages, to bear the Shekhinah within them when they were finally constructed as a complete Mishkan. And that's why we read over each part in painstaking detail again, just as we read it before, to understand that just as Hashem intended it to be just so, for a specific reason, as we discussed in Terumah Tetzaveh, it was created in order to be just as Hashem wanted it, in exactly the same way. At the end of Parshas Pekudei, we read about the dedication of the Mishkan. And we read how Hashem commanded that the Mishkan be built on a very specific date, read in Perek Mem, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Le'emor, Hashem said to Moshe, V'yom HaChodesh HaRishon Be'echod LaChodesh Tokim Es Mishkan Ohel Moed. On the day of the first new moon, B'yom HaChodesh HaRishon, on the day of the first Rosh Chodesh, Be'echod LaChodesh, on the first of the month, meaning Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That is when the Mishkan was to be erected. And the verse points out that this pasuk seems to be redundant. B'yom HaChodesh HaRishon means on the day of the first Rosh Chodesh, which means the first of Nisan. So then why does it have to say again, Be'echod LaChodesh, that is on the first of the month? So the verse explains that this is just reinforcing what we discussed in our Shir on Parshas Bo, on Parshas HaChodesh, which of course we will read this Shabbos. And in that Parshas HaChodesh, we discussed the meaning of Rosh Chodesh and how we do not mark our months by the new moon merely because it's just an astronomical phenomenon that we are marking by creating a new month, but rather the new moon is of a symbolic nature, reminding us that we are to renew ourselves in our relationship with Hashem every month. And that's why we discussed how the Rosh Chodesh is not necessarily at the astronomical new moon, but depends on Eidos, and depends on other calculations that the Yom Tovim should work out, and whatever it might be, it's not until the Beis Din pronounces Mekudash. It's not the astronomical new moon that automatically kicks in Rosh Chodesh, but it's the symbolic meaning of the new moon, which does not necessarily have to be at the astronomical new moon, that we are, that's what we're going for with Rosh Chodesh. That's what we're looking to bring into our consciousness. And so with that understanding, we realize why the Mishkan had to be erected on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And it's not just Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but it's B'yom HaChodesh HaRishon. It's on the day of that first Rosh Chodesh, on the same day a year earlier where Hashem had appeared to Moshe and Aaron and said, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. On that day where Hashem first conveyed this idea of constant renewal in a relationship with Hashem, on that day, Hashem's divine presence was to first dwell among Jewish people, indicating, which it really was, a sign of a really deep connection between Hashem and the Jewish people. That was appropriate to be on that first Rosh Chodesh, marking the anniversary of that day in Mitzrayim, where this message, this symbol, was first taught. And that's why it's B'yom HaChodesh HaRishon is reminding us back to, is bringing back to our minds HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. That's B'yom HaChodesh HaRishon. But the Torah adds that it's B'echol HaChodesh in the first of the month to remind us this idea of Rosh Chodesh is not just because it is the new moon, but because it's the first day of the month. And it's not the first day of the month because it's the astronomical new moon, but it's the first day of the month because Beis Din declared it Mekudash. So it is B'yom HaChodesh HaRishon, which also happens to be B'echod LaChodesh, but they don't necessarily have to go together. And that's important to remember, even though at the same time the Mishkan was created on this certain specific day because it contained this important symbol. But the fact that it was the first day was a separate point that wasn't necessarily to be self-understood just through the symbol itself. Rav Hirsch concludes the parsha, and indeed Sefer Shemos, by showing how, with the construction of the Mishkan, with the idea, with the descent of the Shechina into the midst of the Jewish people, we really have come full circle from the beginning of Sefer Shemos, from the goals that Hashem set out to Moshe Rabbeinu when taking the people out of Mitzrayim. He knows that this is specifically because to really close the circle here, that the account at the end of Parshas Pekudei is not necessarily in chronological order. The account is of Moshe setting up the Mishkan, and then the divine presence comes down and fills the Mishkan. It didn't necessarily happen like that. There were 7 days of Miluim, and then there was an eighth day, which we'll read about in a few after Pesach and Parsha Shemini. By Hi Bayim Hashemini, then Aaron took over, and then the Shekhinah came down. So there was a whole procedure in between the initial setup of the Mishkan and the descent of the Shekhinah. But Rav Hirsch says that the Torah here glosses over all the intervening action, because the point is to show how this is the completion of Sefer, of the beginning of Sefer Shemos, of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And then in Sefer Vayikra, we'll read about the Korbanos, and then we'll pick up the narrative again on the eighth day of the Miluim to see what happened then in full detail. But here, we see how with the Shekhinah resting on the Kruvim, and the Mishkan set up with the Aron at its center, shows how the Torah is finally accepted by Klal Yisrael, and it becomes an essential part of their lives. And now we see the realization of what Hashem said in the beginning of Parshas Bo'era, with the Arba Lashonos Geula, where Hashem said, "V'hotzeisi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim." First, Hashem removed them from the burdens of the servitude. "V'hitzalti eschem mi'avodasam." And then, "V'go'alti eschem b'zeroan tiyo." He took them out. "V'shvatim gerolim." He redeemed them through the Makos. Then, "V'lokachti eschem li la'am v'yisi lachem lokim." Then I will take you for a people, meaning through the Torah. We become the people of Hashem through the Torah, by placing that Torah in an Aron, in a Mishkan, which rests in the middle of the Jewish camp, symbolically representing the central part in their lives. But Rav Hirsch says not just that they became people of Hashem through belief, as Rav Hirsch has mentioned earlier. But we read here in the concluding pasuk of the Parsha, that Ki anan Hashem al ha-Mishkan yomam ve'esh tia laila bo. The cloud was on the Mishkan during the day, and the fire during the night. Le'enei kol beis Yisrael b'chol ma'aseihem. Before the eyes of all the house of Israel in all their travels. Everybody saw the cloud. Everybody saw the fire. The Shekhinah was a visible manifestation of Hashem, which Rav Hirsch said, writes, changed the relationship from Klal Yisrael to Hashem as one of belief in a creator, belief in the Torah, to knowledge, understanding, to a visible proof of Hashem's presence and his Torah in their midst, which is stronger than just belief. It's not just it's knowledge, not just blind faith. And there is no way to make this clearer to the people than a visible, tangible proof of the fact that the Aron, which rested in the center of the Mishkan, representing the Torah, which then presented itself as the guiding spirit for the Shulchan and the Menorah out, before it, of the material life, the Parnasa of the people, and the Chachma, the mental, spiritual life of the people, subsumed beneath the Torah and the Kodesh Kodashim. And there the Shekhinah rested. This is truly a proof to the and knowledge of Hashem's existence and the truth of Hashem's Torah, and that knowledge through experience, not just theory, is what they were able to pass down to their children, and to us, to this very day. Our obedience to Hashem and His Torah are because our ancestors saw visibly that Hashem was in their midst and gave them a Torah. And that's why the pasuk just mentioned about Yitzias Mitzrayim, which says V'lokachtias chem lila'am V'yisi lachem lelokim, concludes V'idatem ki ani Hashem Elokeichem. You will know that I am Hashem your God, Hamotzias chem mitachas lelos Mitzrayim, who took you out from the slavery of Egypt. And so here, finally, at the end of the conclusion of this Sefer, we see how the Jewish people finally became the people of Hashem. Belokachti aschem li la'am voyisi lachem elokim is fulfilled, and we have vidatem ki ani Hashem Elokeichem. We know now that Hashem is our God, and that is the role the Mishkan played in the midst of the Jewish people, which is especially important now after the issue of the Egel Hazav. And Rav Hirsch writes that the Mishkan's importance is only magnified after the issues of the Egel Hazav, the lows and the highs, the lows of almost deserving destruction, the highs of receiving the grace of God and His forgiveness, and now, having experienced all that, the Jewish people really understand Hashem, understand what He wants for them, understand the role the Torah is playing in their lives, and they see the signs of that through the Mishkan and the Shekhinah which rests within it.